Psalm 133, if you have your Bibles today. Psalm 133. Be on the screen behind me, but I encourage you to bring your Bibles. Psalm 133 reads the following, a song of ascents of David. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. May it be powerful in our lives today as we examine its pages. And may Christ be preeminent. In his name, amen. For those of you who have been paying attention, who actually pay attention to my sermons, you'll notice that this is not the second half of Psalm 51 that I promised you last week. It's not the second half. It's obviously Psalm 133. I will return there to those last few verses next week, but as I was studying the scriptures this week, and just also considering the life of our church and a lot of things that are going on, I think that this psalm just kind of really stuck out to me, and I think it's more appropriate for me to preach today. In the last week, in the last month or so, our church has had a lot of activities and a lot of challenges, both good and not so good. We on both ends of the spectrum. That's what it means to be a part of a church family. We went in a matter of 1 week from coming together as a church family to bless a local family with a funeral and to switching gears in a matter of a day to doing vacation Bible school and all the craziness that goes along with that. And along with that, there were a lot of other things going on in the life of our church in your lives that were very challenging. And as your pastor, I trust that you know that I'm praying for you and I'm here for you, and I know our church family is. And so as I was considering what to preach this morning, considering the Bible and considering these challenges, one thing as I was reading through Psalm 133 is I have seen, especially in these past 2 weeks, this psalm played out in the life of Eastford Baptist Church. I've seen Psalm 133 played out in your lives as a church family. And as your pastor, I just want to tell you that that it brings joy to my heart. Brings joy to my heart to see my church family, the church that I pastor, my brother and sister Christians living out the Word of God. It brings joy to my heart as your pastor. Amen? Does it bring joy to your heart? Amen, it does. To see how, as a church family, as brother and sister Christians, that we, as verse 1 states, are dwelling in unity with one another. And how good and pleasant that was. It is indeed good, and it is indeed pleasant, as David states, to see brothers and sisters in Christ live life together. To see us weep together. To see us joy together, to see us laugh together, to see us just live life through all circumstances. It's a really, really cool thing. To see us, you know, come together for things like vacation Bible school and sing together and dance together and do missions trips together and all of these things. Yes, Baptists do dance once in a while. Not very good, but we do, all right? It's good and pleasant. It is good and pleasant, as this text states, to hear of brothers and sisters who take the time for one another throughout the week to care for one another in your needs, to bring meals to those who are struggling, and to spend time praying with each other and just spend time with those who are in need. That is good and pleasant. It's good and pleasant to, this past summer, we've done a Wednesday night activity where Sarah and I, we just have folks in our homes on Wednesday nights before prayer meeting. And that has just been such a blessing to my heart. For each and every one of you who've come out. And it's so good to hear how, as I spend time with you as my people, how it's not just in those organized activities that you are doing these things, that you are actually in each other's homes, that you are in each other's lives, that you are having each other in your home, you're praying with one another, you're calling one another. It's a cool thing. It's good and pleasant. And so I think it's appropriate as a pastor, as your pastor, to tell you just how proud I am of our church, first and foremost, and how grateful I am for you as a church family, for all that you do for me and for my family, and more importantly, what you do for each other, because that's what we want. We want to be a church family, both in word and deed. Amen? That's what we want to be. And so as I meditated upon this psalm this week, as I was thinking through our Summer of Psalms series, I could think of no greater psalm to go to, because really, I can think of no greater place that I would rather be, no greater church family than I would rather be a part of than you, Eastford Baptist Church. And I hope you know that, and know that your pastor is a blessed man, and know that you are blessed by being a part of this family. And so I just praise God for it, and I praise God for bringing me to this passage this week. You notice Psalm 133 is labeled at the beginning. If you have an ESV, it's labeled with the inscription, a psalm of ascents. And that means that this psalm was utilized as all of the psalm of ascents were. There are several of them, and it's debated on which ones were psalm of ascents, and some which were and some which weren't. But as with all the psalm of ascents, they were utilized during worship gatherings of ancient Israel. And they were utilized during those worship gatherings either as they were ascending the road to Jerusalem during pilgrimage festivals, during their feasts, or as they ascended the steps into the temple itself. History tells us that each of the Psalm of Ascents would have been read step by step. They would have stopped on each one of the steps going up into the temple in order for them to concentrate on the Lord before worship, in order for them to be fixated and remain fixated upon the Lord during those very special times of temple gatherings and worship. But in either case, the Psalm of Ascents were clearly utilized in worship gatherings, the gathering of God's covenant people. This is how they were utilized. And it was used in order to remind these Psalm of Ascents, to remind all of those who gathered, all of God's people who would listen or recite these psalms of the, as verse 3 states, the blessings that God has bestowed upon his people. And God has given us many blessings. He does. What's that old hymn say? It says, count your what? Blessings, name them one by one, right? We have many blessings to praise God for that are good and pleasant, but in the particular case of this psalm, the blessing is the brethren. The blessing is the brethren, which means that in our day and age, this is in reference to those around you. This is in reference to your brother and sister Christians in your local church that you have covenanted with, that you love and you wish to take care of, that you've covenanted with, that you've unified with. And so the unity in this particular case that we as a church enjoy, that we see played out regularly, is a good and pleasant blessing that comes from God. And the psalmist, David, in this particular case, takes the time to acknowledge that. Why? Because unity and brethren and brotherhood that God's covenant people have with one another is something that we can very easily take for granted. It's something that we can very easily take for granted, but something that we shouldn't. And so this psalm is a reminder of that blessing of the brethren. Verse 2 goes on to describe this blessing, this unity of the brethren as follows. It says in verse 2, it's described as precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron. I like the fact that Aaron had a beard, you know? Yeah, I'm a beard. When I accidentally shaved my beard a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you guys noticed, I didn't have my beard. I was shaving it off. Oh, I was just trimming it, and I accidentally put a big nick into the beard, and I was like, boy, oh boy, that's a disappointment. I don't like myself without a beard, but completely beside the point. But this text states, it says it's that the unity of the brethren is like precious oil that's running down on the head, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. And this, of course, this is in reference to the Aaronic priesthood. When Aaron, the great priest, was inaugurated. And you can read about that in Exodus chapter 30, verse 23. Moses says this. He says, you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. So he's talking about the inauguration of Aaron into the into the Aaronic priesthood. And so what they would do is that they would anoint the priests with this precious oil that was known as, it was known to be a very strong smelling oil, very nice smelling, flowery smelling, if you will, a pleasant smell. And so the priest, Aaron in this particular case, but the priest and all those priests who stood before God was there, according to this text, to symbolize the unity that the people of God had with God himself, but also with each other. When they looked upon the priest or they were in his very presence, they were to be encouraged and blessed by his presence, but also by the very, very smell of the man, okay? Knowing that all is well with God, that there is intercession being made between themselves as sinners and God. And so the very presence of that priest brought an encouragement to that ancient people of God that was, as this text goes on to say, what? Good and pleasant. And so under the guidance and the direction of that high priest, all of the brothers dwelt in unity. Brothers dwelt in unity. Unity of what? Well, obviously, it was a psalm of ascents. Unity of worship. Unity of the gathering together. Unity of service with one another. Unity of love for one another. When they looked to Aaron, when they looked to that priest symbolized how very good and pleasant the unity of the brethren was, and unity with God was. But as Christians, we understand, as we read the New Testament, that we have a high priest that's even greater than Aaron. Amen? And his name is Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Jesus, that high priest, is right now interceding for us constantly at the right hand of the Father. You can read all about it in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews goes into great detail of the fact of Jesus is from a greater priestly line. The priestly line, not of Aaron, but of Melchizedek, that everlasting line of priests that was from eternity past and will go into eternity future. That's how long our high priest will stand interceding for us before God. And so just, again, Aaron was a shadow. He was a foreshadowing of this greater Christ, this greater high priest that was to come to do that. And so applying that to 133, just as Aaron's robes and his beards were stained with that oil that symbolized the unity of the brethren and God's mercy that was upon them, so too do the robes of our Lord Jesus Christ symbolize the very same thing. Except our Lord's robes, our high priest's robes were stained with what? They were stained with his blood that alone saves us and yes, indeed, unifies the family of God. Our unity as brothers and sisters in Christ is rooted in our high priest. Amen? Our unity is rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And fellow Christian, there is nothing, nothing more good or pleasant than that. Amen? Finally, verse 3 likens this unity with, it goes on to say, the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And so Hermon, again, you can study this out, but Hermon was the name of a couple different mountains. It could have been a couple different ones, but they were all known for their dew, the condensation that would come as a result during the night, which was a very necessary and very life-giving thing that needed to happen in that very arid and hot Middle Eastern climate. They needed that dew. They needed that life-giving water that came as a result because of the hot climate. We know a lot about being hot today, amen? That's right. The dew was necessary to grow plant life and to thrive and survive in that desert climate. And so without the dew, without this condensation, things would just wither and die. And so David is saying that brotherly unity with the covenant people of God is not only a blessing, but that it is necessary. It is a necessary thing for us to live. The blessing of brotherly unity brings, as this text concludes, life forevermore. Meaning this, is that without the brethren, without your church family, you will indeed wither and die spiritually. You will. We are not meant to be lone wolf Christians. We are not meant to live the Christian life on our own. We are meant to live together as a covenant people of God, as a church family together for the glory of God, to love one another and to push one another and to serve together and to help one another. And that when we don't allow the brother into our lives, when we don't allow those around us from our church family into our lives to help us, to push us, to help us grow, that we're not only doing a disservice to ourselves spiritually, we're not growing spiritually, but we're also not helping our brothers and sisters to grow spiritually. We're doing them a disservice. And so the unity of the brethren is good and pleasant. It is a blessing, but it is also a necessity. And I just want to say again, church, that, and just take this for what it is, that the past couple weeks have been good and pleasant for Eastford Baptist Church. They have been. I have indeed seen the church family come together in unity. And as I said at the beginning, we've come together in both good times and in bad to love one another and to serve the Lord together, to proclaim the gospel together. And I just want to tell you that as your pastor, I can't be more happy. I my joy is full as your pastor, all right, to see that. And so my short and simple admonition on this very hot Sunday, don't get used to it, is to keep it up, church. To keep it up. Keep on loving each other as a church family. Keep on being there for one another in Christ. Keep on praying for one another, spending time together. Keep on serving together. Keep proclaiming the gospel together. Keep on doing these things, church. You're doing a good job. Keep on doing it and keep growing in all of these things, in that unity, which is indeed good and pleasant and a blessing to myself and to all of us as a church. But as the word says in a few other places, it's not just in this text. Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Galatians 6:10 says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith, the family of faith. 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. I'd say that there's a theme going on here, right? Finally, Romans 15:5 to 7. Paul says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another, or bless one another, that word could be translated, as Christ has blessed you for the glory of God. So keep it up, church. Amen? Keep it up. Keep loving each other, and may God continue to shower us with the blessings of the brethren. That's the title of my sermon today. I gave it to you at the end instead of at the beginning. That's cool. So may God grant us that grace. So let's pray and we'll dismiss. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for these short three verses, God, that encourage our hearts so much. And God, I thank you so much that Eastford Baptist Church exemplifies these things. And I pray, God, for your grace to continue. I pray, God, as I preached, God, that you'd continue to unify our hearts, that you continue to bless us with your grace, that you'd continue to help us as a church family to look to our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, as that one unifying factor, that we have all been redeemed, that we have all been forgiven, that we have all been loved much. And God, because we have been loved much, God, we can love one another. And Lord, help us also, as I said, to see this as a necessity for our Christian walk and our Christian life. God, help us not to go it alone. Help us to live this Christian life as a church family, both in word and deed. Grow us in this, Lord, I pray. Grant us your grace. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.